starting. And let's see, where is my, here it is. Okay. Can you see my screen, but the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm going to just clear my video there. So, excuse me, as I said in the email, I don't think this should meeting should take very long today. A couple of updates and then for everybody, and hopefully an opportunity for any feedback or questions or concerns that are currently going on. We haven't really done one of those for a while. So again, I'm just going to go through kind of a brief recap of the outage from a couple of weeks ago now, show you the new wiki page we've got for this, for the storage advisors, quick update on campaign storage augmentation and HPS evacuation, and then turn it over to everybody for any other comments. So I will admit that Sizzle was kind of, particularly Irfan's division, were pretty giddy with how and pleased with how well the outage went. We did have one unexpected interruption to bringing systems back up as early as we had hoped for Casper and Glade and the UPS systems, when the one of the UPS systems up in Cheyenne failed to come up cleanly. One of the back end switches failed. And you know, I think a lot of us were thinking, well, just pop in a new one. Then we found out that these switches require a forklift to move in and out. So that was part of the delay of, well, in fact, it was almost 100% of the delay of getting Casper and Glade and the rest of these systems that you see here back online. you know, we had planned that those would be up by Wednesday. They didn't come up till Friday midday sometime. I think it was around 1:30. And then, but on the good news, we were able to get those up on Friday, and we were able to get Cheyenne up substantially earlier than what we even optimistically thought we could. So that included HPSS, which I think I mentioned here a couple times in these meetings, that there was considerable nervousness within Sizzle about that old system coming up cleanly, but it didn't miss a beat. It came up and as cleanly as one could have ever hoped for. So I guess I would like to take this opportunity to ask this group, was the amount of communications from Sizzle to the user community, was it adequate? Could you have used more? Was it too much? I'd kind of like hear this group's opinions on that.
Hey, Mick, it's Garth. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, thanks. I was wondering if I was talking to anybody. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the Sizzle communications were great. You know, overarching issues with communication of co-location spaces and UPS downtimes and when, you know, my stuff would come back up in the co-location space. We need to work on that, but that's outside the scope of kind of what you're doing. But I think the Sizzle stuff went really well. You know, there are no real surprises there.
Okay, well, thanks. I will admit that the like the notifiers I was putting out in the evening and in the daily bulletins, there was a what I thought was a real, like, they were becoming very repetitive, and I was thinking, gosh, are they to the point of being boring and people are ignoring them? So, so thanks for that feedback. Yeah, Gary, got your hand up?
No, if Garth is done.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think everything went swimmingly well. I mean, you got that note from Jim Edwards, and he's not an easy man to please. So yeah. I think it went very, very smoothly. And honestly, I really do like the, it's almost, you can't almost send out too much information about these kind of big downtimes. The daily stuff was just perfect. But, you know, as things arise, people, I think my experience has been, people really don't like it when they just don't know what's going on. You know,
right.
You tell them anything and everything and they'll be happy. So
we want to be truthful and transparent, but not raise unnecessary concern or alarms too.
Yeah, of course. You don't need to, you don't need to say absolutely everything, but the amount of information that you relayed was spot on. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, Mike.
I would say as well that the HPC resources, that was communicated very well. The issue I had was, it slipped my awareness until the kind of the last minute that it would affect the license servers. And I don't know if that was part of the same deal or just something related or what, but.
I will say that the license servers, sandbox or infrastructure, that's a little bit outside of our domain. So, and we didn't have a lot. I would echo what you and Garth have said. You know, we didn't have a lot of visibility into what was going on there either. We knew that they couldn't come up until all the UPS power was restored either. So, but other than that, it was a bit invisible to us. So I'll take this as good feedback and criticism, and we'll try and improve on that going forward. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's see. It looks like there was someone has a. Where is my chat? I can't find it. There we go. Okay. Oh, thanks, Sherry. I appreciate that. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. So I guess it was years ago, I kind of came to the, developed a pattern of you can, if you over-communicate, you might annoy people, but if you under-communicate, you're going to piss them off. So I'd rather err on the side of over-communicating, but at the same time, I was feeling a little self-conscious because things were going so well, but things were kind of boring from our side. So anyway, thanks for that, everyone. And, Abby, I'm sorry, just saw your hand.
Hi. I guess I'm just curious how much cushion you put in to these at time estimates. I was kind of frustrated that like Casper and Jupiter Hub weren't back up, and like I was just frustrated because I was expecting it, and I'm like, I always feel like I have to cushion this in my head, and it's like during the work week and it's during the ASP summer school, like I got frustrated, and I was like, you know, if you overestimate and then you give it back early, like happened with compute nodes, that was great. But like, I didn't know if that was the case with the other stuff.
No, the other stuff, I will say this, there's always a tendency I'll just say a tendency to want to kind of build some cushion in so that people, you know, let's say we had said, systems are going to be back up on Tuesday, and which would have been like really cutting it pretty thin. I think you guys tell me, I think that would have been more frustrating when the systems wouldn't have come up. Really, this go around for this outage, Wednesday was really our best estimate. We weren't trying to build in too much padding or anything. And frankly, I was nervous that we weren't going to be able to get Cheyenne back up on Monday. But then when all of the power work, electrical power work that happened, and there was a tremendous amount of work that got done in that week, when everything came back up so smoothly, we just started looking, you know, kind of talking amongst ourselves and looking at each other on Friday afternoon, early evening. We said, well, let's just push through and get this done tonight so that we can get the system back early. And quite frankly, we wouldn't have to work over the weekend, and users could have their systems back. So I don't know if that answered your question very, if it addressed your concern. Were you frustrated that the outage took longer than for Casper and them than we had hoped?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in general, I'm frustrated that this work happened during the summer, which is the busiest time for tutorials that use the system.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was kind of during, I was working on the summer school and we were using the computers the entire time. And it was kind of an off week, but people still wanted to get work done. And I was like, well, it's supposed to be up Wednesday. And then they couldn't do anything till Friday afternoon when most people aren't working anymore. So it was people,
I know a lot of people had already gone home or dialed it, you know, packed it in for the week. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I'm really not trying to complain. It just like adds an extra level of stress when it feels like it shouldn't happen. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. No, let me address real quick the reason why it happened in the summer is that so much of the work was outside, pouring concrete for the new power units, transformers, a lot of trench work that had to be done to get cabling and power lines into the system. And I think if you remember, it was a few years ago when they were trying to repair the transformer that blew up. That had been scheduled for a lot of, in large part for the reasons you just mentioned, is that they were trying to be sensitive to all the work that was going on during the summer. But then what happened is a blizzard came through up in Cheyenne and they had to postpone it until the next spring or summer. So plus there were no fewer than 10 external contractors that they had to be coordinated. So we understand it wasn't ideal, but it was, trust me that it was the best we could do. And if you ever run into Michael Kircher, who heads up the one of the facility groups in up in Cheyenne, you can congratulate him. He just did an amazing job of coordinating everything.
Yeah. And I do understand that. And like, trust me, I understand the weather. I grew up in Cheyenne.
Okay. So,
but I guess because even like we found out that this was happening in the summer, like maybe a month or two ahead of time. And then it wasn't until then that I could be like, oh, well, we have all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And you said you could only move it like a few weeks either way. And this had been in planning for months and months and months. And like, I feel like there's still not enough communication with users, like far enough ahead of time. Like it needs to be more ahead of time.
Okay.
Than what we got, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. I'll take responsibility for that since it's kind of more my job to kind of hit, do those kind, take care of those kinds of communication. We were holding off until we had more firm dates. And again, this all kind of rolls back to all these external contractors that had to be lined up and committed to any dates at all, much less all the same dates. So,
we're even trying to sell our, you know, summer schools and tutorials, and people are signing up in like 6-9 months ahead of time. And we're telling them that we have all these resources available. And if they're not actually going to be available, that would be important to know.
that sounds like a kind of a key detail. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We got bit yesterday. The CESM tutorial was going on this week. And I'm sure a lot of you may, or some of people you know, got bit with the problem with PBS yesterday on Cheyenne, and it basically brought that tutorial to its knees for about 3 or 4 hours. So that was not a fun thing to try and troubleshoot real time. Yeah. And Garth, I'm reading your chat here. Okay. Yeah. SciParks, Sizzle's SciParks program got a little bit with this too. It put a dent in the progress they could make.
So. It's just the impacts are wide ranging, and this is the only time, right? You know, but I have a source protege that was like, oh no, I need to change something, and like, oh well. Good luck. So just to add on to what Abby was saying, this, it's really hard to schedule these things. The summertime though, is just
brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially for some of these kids that are really pushing to do their first huge research project ever on the scale. And then, Jupiter Hub gone. And then it doesn't come back the right. So definitely want to make sure we emphasize the impacts are mm-hmm. palpable for many, many in the organization.
Got it. If there's any bright spot, this should be the last one of these kind that we go through for a while. I'll just facetiously say until next summer, right? In the middle of everything. No, if we could have avoided it, we would have. Trust me that Irfan holds our feet to the fire to get things back as quickly as we can for folks. So, and to minimize the amount of outages and downtimes. So, but I really appreciate the feedback though. Good to have. And I'll promise to try and do a better job of early warnings from here on. Okay. All right. So, and this isn't the end. If you have any other feedback that you think of later, shoot me an email or some sort of messaging. All right. Wrong direction. So mentioned this for the first time last month about wiki I was putting together. It's all but done and kind of considered today its unveiling. Let me go to that right now, show you just real quickly what it looks like. There it is. Okay. This is the homepage for it. And my thoughts are here is that this is where I'll keep all the presentations and these meeting recordings, any other information. Plus, ask you about this here in a minute. Maybe as a forum or platform for discussions, right? Questions or problems that you're having, as opposed to shooting me an email or filing a ticket with Sizzle Help or something like that. If it's more stuff that's central to the storage advisors group in our charter here, then I'd kind of like to have maybe like a blog or just a page where we could share and exchange, or pages where we could exchange those kinds of things. That's coming. That isn't here yet. So right now, what is here is I have this is going back about a year of our meetings. For some reason or another, maybe you guys can help me remember, I'm missing everything between February and June. I canceled one meeting in that period, but I'm baffled why I can't find anything more. If you have better memories than I do, then please let me know. And I'll insert that in here. But each of these links here point to previous meetings. We can see here for our last meeting, here was our agenda. And then here are the slides, mine and Emma's slides from that meeting. because it was still under Google, I don't have recordings of it. But for this meeting, which will be added to that table, there'll be a link down here in somewhere on the meeting's homepage that provides a link to the recordings, both the audio, a text transcription, and audio video as well. So hopefully this will be useful. And as I said last time, I wished I had thought to do this, a couple of years ago. I think this would have had a little bit more value. And then I also have a link here to all of us who participate in these meetings. So if you have any feedback or thoughts or suggestions on what we could add to this, I'm wide open for that. I don't claim to be a wiki expert, but try and please you there. Okay. So, no, thanks, Gary. Okay. Yeah, it's like I said, this is its unveiling here today. So bear with me on that. Let's see. And what I'll do after each meeting, then, once the recordings are posted and the slides are all ready, I'll send an email to the group, let you know, with this URL, and letting you know that the presentations and slides and everything are ready for you. That's my plan. See how well that works out. Okay. Next thing I wanted to go over is or talk about is the campaign storage augmentation that's coming up here in a couple of months. I mentioned this, broached this with you last month. Again, the funding was approved by NSF 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. We did get a new update on this just this week that works the delivery of the trays, and discs should happen late this month, is what the vendor's telling us. And that fits our schedule that those will come online and be available sometime early this fall, depending on, shipment, possible slippage in those dates. But this is pretty close as far as the time frame. Again, it's going to increase the total capacity for campaign storage by 25 petabytes. So we'll have a total of about 90 when this is done. And then I'm working with Dave Hart to make sure that each of the lab allocations will be increased proportionally. So I think we're in pretty good shape there, and things are rolling along really smoothly with this next augmentation. So let's see. Sherry. Thanks, Sherry. I don't think we've had a meeting in December yet. So good catch. Let's see. Any questions about the campaign storage augmentation? Okay. I should have an update. I'll be able to tell you next month's meeting whether the system's actually got delivered or not, and if we're still on schedule. So this month I don't have any pictures for you in terms of the updated graphs for campaign storage or Scratch. We're still in really good shape. Growth has been real steady. It's following the same the same trajectory that you saw last month. But before this, I post my slides to the wiki, I'll have this updated on there. I guess it's a good time as any to ask, are any of you aware of problems, shortages, allocation shortfalls with campaign storage? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Yeah, Gary, that's my plan, is to add them to the wiki. So, and then probably maybe save you a few steps. I'll when I let you know that they are ready, I'll include those graphs in that email. Let's see. And same with Scratch. We're in good shape on Scratch space as well. So, and of course, our favorite subject is HPSS evacuation. As of today, there's 52 days left until October 1st. You can see from this rather a sharp drop right here that read rate has continued to decline. I'm not personally too concerned about that. There is always some fear that there's going to be someone's going to come up at the last minute and say, you can't, you know, hold the presses. I've got 2 petabytes of data I've got to get off. That's just, I think the official word will be, that's too bad. You know, you've had a year and a half. Dick Vallant, I think many of you have probably seen emails from him over the last several months. He's been doing a fantastic job of communicating with people and helping users get data off. For example, Gary, you may be aware that he's been working closely with Keith Lindsay here of late, who's been our biggest reader, actually, and to help him get his data off. And the rest of it's kind of just, as you can see, is down to a trickle. I'm not too concerned about this sharp drop here lately, because much of that was gobbled up with the downtime a couple of weeks ago. So if you know anyone, you know, same old message, if you know anyone who still has data out there and they're having trouble getting it off or they need help, have them contact us ASAP. But the good news was, like I mentioned a little bit ago, HPSS came back up 100%. I was positive that at least one or two of the robots were just going to get jammed or, you know, just be dead on arrival. But the whole system came back up to 100%. So that was great news. And let's see. With that, that's it. That was my last slide. So let's see. Hold on. Yeah, I agree, Gary, in terms of it kind of got them off their crack habit when they couldn't write to it anymore. So I will say, when NCSA shut down their tape system for Blue Waters, they gave users 6 weeks. So I feel like we've been pretty generous with almost a year and a half had lead time on this. So with that, I'll turn it over and just open it up to the group if there's any questions or comments about anything I've presented here, talked about, or maybe ideas, things you'd like to see for next month's meeting or sometime later this year. I haven't done a very good job of soliciting that kind of input for a while. Kind of quiet.
This is Sid. Can I ask a question to all of us, perhaps?
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm one of the old-fashioned guys. Regarding storage, I prefer something that is backed up, or HPSS kind of write once or archive object, as well as the another one that is more persistently read and things like that. So campaign storage seems to have merged these two. That is, you can store data over there and at the same time directly store data while computing, and also can directly compute off. And I know Garth and others had a different view on this. So I was just kicking this idea. I mean, what do you think now that HPSS is completely gone? Campaign storage will be your primary storage. And but since it is also fast, people will be able to compute off there. So will you be happy with that? Or do you think you need more HPSS-like functionality where you will dump your data and maintain its pristine form, not change it, or not accidentally getting it deleted while you compute on it? So please give your view or opinion about it.
Looks like Matthias has a comment there, Sid.
Yeah, so my approach to this is kind of that I subdivided my campaign store a little bit into kind of data more intended for long-term storage, and I put data in the directory, and then I remove my write permissions from it to make sure I don't accidentally write something over. And then I have other project files, which is more the stuff I'm more actively working on, where it wouldn't be the biggest disaster if I accidentally write something over. I'm not sure if there's a better way to streamline that, but this is right now how I approach it for myself.
Good to hear when this is an approach, yeah. Any other view?
I'll stick my hand up, literally. Yeah, my only concern really is accidental data loss because of, you know, permissions being set too freely. But, you know, that's a risk we take anyway. And I would really rather not go back to the days of people just, you know, blindly dumping everything on HPSS with the expectation, or dumping everything onto a storage system with the expectation that maybe someday they'll get around to reading it, because, you know, that we just got rid of all that. And I think that would be a step backwards. Now, that's coming from a biased modeler's perspective. Now, for observational data, you know, that's another ball of wax. I think they definitely absolutely must have a rock solid archive, because you can't recapture that stuff if it gets erased. But, you know, and field campaigns and all that kind of thing. But at least as far as models are concerned, you know, we have enough stuff kind of scattered around that if something really got lost, we could probably reconstruct it. I mean, we've had reruns done of key model simulations because of inadvertent data loss. So, you know, people crab about it, but we can make up for it usually. I mean, you know, there's always an extreme situation where, you know, people would be very, very upset and it couldn't be reproduced. But, you know, that's pretty rare. That hasn't actually happened yet. Fingers crossed, you know. But that's my take.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, Garth, please. Yeah.
I don't even know where the little raise hand thing is on this one. Anyway, yeah, you know what? I think with the available tools, like our model output goes into the RDA. So that's sort of our backup. And we're trading campaign storage, but it serves as a backup. For our in situ data or experimental data, it's going through the dash process, or it's going through EOL's catalog process. So, you know, there's a lot of safeguards kind of built in with the ancillary services at NCAR already, as long as you know to take advantage of them. So there may be some greater awareness that needs to be pushed out there to say, hey, if you've got empirical data that can't be replaced, make sure it's on Quasar, make sure it's in Dash, make sure it's somewhere, but it's more of a user education issue. I think we have a lot of resources for what you're describing to prevent data loss.
Okay, good to hear.
Yeah. Garth, would you say CISL needs to do a better job of getting that message out about all the services and you know, platforms that are available for that? Like Dash, and I mean, it feels like we have, but there's always room for improvement, right?
No, I think you're in pretty good shape there. I mean, the Dash is part of every proposal now. So you go through and you have to be evaluated as part of, you know, a proposal that has storing data or something in it. So I think there's a lot of good avenues for exploring that. It's more make sure that, hey, if you have, you know, make sure that people are aware that campaign storage is not this ironclad resource that's very similar to HPSS. It's you know, it's a storage system that is read, write, and destroy, right? So, you know, maybe, yeah, I think we've gone over the use cases. Over so much time, people kind of forget what, hey, what's Quasar for? What's this for? What's that for? And so, you know, there could be some benefit, perhaps a reminder every once in a while, or just a, hey, this is what, you know, what we intend, Sizzle intends to have all these storage resources used for. These are use cases. But, you know, who, what timing schedule? You know, I don't know. I think at this point, pretty well aware, maybe when derecho comes out, it might be a good time to refresh and say, hey, everybody, these are the resources we have for storage. Be aware of these limitations. Be careful, because this will open up, again, that first read-write ability from derecho to campaign storage directly. And that's going to be a change and might have some impacts that people are like, oop, I accidentally overwrote all of my output from this directory because I forgot to change the name in this, in my submission file or something like that. So there might be some room for education there.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts to remind people that, for example, campaign storage is not backed up, right?
Right.
What we've learned over the years is that HPSS was not ironclad safe either. That tapes could go bad, that was never a pleasant experience on my part to write to users and say, "Hey, you had files on a tape that could not be recovered." Fortunately, I don't think there was one case I was aware of where it was irreplaceable. So, yeah. Gary, you had your hand up for a second. Did you?
Well, that was actually a hand clap. I'm agreeing with Garvey.
Okay. All right. Good. So Sid, I guess I don't want to just cut it off with Gary and Garth, but does anybody else have any response?
And Matthias
to Sid's comments here. Okay, I'll take that as a no. Garth, you had mentioned derecho. I guess probably should just make sure everybody saw the notice that the derecho's delivery is delayed because of just supply chain problems with the semiconductors. The best estimate we have from HPE right now is that it'll be delivered in late January. So the ASD process in terms of proposals and things, that schedule remains as it was, but obviously the beginning of the ASD projects and themselves will be pushed back by the 3 or 4 months that the delay is going to introduce. I'll freely admit, I don't think this is the worst news in the world for me or for Sizzle or group. It gives us that much more time to prepare the user environment and all the other logistics that have to go in. And for the most part, Cheyenne has been running pretty well. It's been pretty rock solid for the last year or so. No transformers blowing up or major cooling problems. So we have, I think we're lucky or fortunate in that we still will have a pretty good supercomputer at our disposal until derecho comes online. So, Matthias, sorry.
I just want to ask, I mean, was there or is there any plan to have some smaller size test system installed before the main machine arrives, or do we just get either everything or nothing?
No, very good question. They're part of the whole NWSC3 package includes a test system. Its name will be GUST, G-U-S-T, And it was actually the original timeline called for it to have been delivered last week. It's also delayed for the same reasons. Derecho itself will be delayed. And we're Irfan, believe me, Irfan is exerting as much pressure as he can to get Gust delivered sooner rather than later. Our plan is that when after assuming Gust eventually shows up and it's ahead of Derecho, that we will open it up to some key early users for testing, development, you know, code. It'll be limited, of course, because it's going to be a pretty small machine. I think there's only two A100 nodes on it. And Sid, do you remember how many compute nodes are on it?
Gust? 16 compute nodes and two A100 nodes.
Yeah, so relatively pretty small.
Yeah. And
but it'll be adequate for, you know, minimal, you know, some small testing and development work.
Yes. And particularly, we will encourage ASD users who are trying to access the GPU resources to test and try if their application can be fit into two nodes, of course.
Yeah. So, Sid, you have your hand up.
So I was just going to mention, though the Derecho deployment timescale has pushed by 4 months, and the ASD process remains the exactly ASD schedule process remains exactly the same. So just I wanted to sound this out to all of you, in case if you feel that you have missed the boat for ASD, but suddenly this 4 months time has given you an opportunity during which you can be ready, get back to us. We will try to see if there is a way we can get you into the queue or not.
Thanks for mentioning that, Sid. Yeah, I strongly encourage, if you know anyone who was on the fence or decided not to put a proposal in because they couldn't be ready in time for when Derecho was going to be available, I can't promise anything, but I would like to believe that the powers that be will take that into consideration, and the people who will be making the decision, and the people being, their first name is Everett, by the way. So, Matthias, or I'm kind of got a little hit. Sorry, Garth, I think you were next with your hand up.
Yeah. Unless Matthias is going to respond directly to that, I was going to shift gears to something else. So if Matthias has something to
answer. I just had one question regarding ASD. I mean, the original deadline for submitting the main proposal, I think, was September 10, but we still haven't heard back about the step one proposals, which was promised early in August. I mean, are we getting here very short notice 1 week before the deadline is whether we should submit a full proposal or not? Or is there any plan at least to accommodate a moderate deadline shift to make up for not hearing yet about the step ones?
I think we will have to get back to you, Matthias, on this. As you know, this is the big people who are making this decision, but this is a perfectly valid question. We will get back to you.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Matthias. Maybe Sid and I have kind of hinted at this, but there's a fair amount of uncertainty at our level too about how things are going to proceed from going forward in the short term. But we will do our best to get back to you with a good answer for that. Okay. Yeah.
But for the timing, you assume that the time scale remains exactly identical, that deadline for submitting the full proposal. Basically, what will happen once we nudge, probably they will make it faster to get this short letter of intent, short-term intent result of that out sooner.
Yeah, Garth,
So I was thinking along the lines of what's going to happen to project space data, the old slash P, as we go forward, and the evacuation process, right? Because that's going to disappear and be essentially replaced by campaign. So I wonder if we want to start with that sort of movement to try to get people off of project space sooner than later. I know we have more time because Derecho's there, but I don't know, maybe I missed, I didn't see anything saying, hey, everybody, project space is going to disappear. You should probably think about moving this to campaign storage before this date, which is, of course, is often the future. However, those dates come quickly and there's quite a significant amount of data in the project space as a whole.
Very good point. I will agree with you. We haven't publicized that really pushed that message out about Glade P going away.
But it's December 31st, 2022. So that's...
You have some time. It's one of those things. But with the HPSS evacuation and obviously that at different speed sort of things, but people will want to have it maybe operational on the new system. And if they already have it on campaign storage, then it'll be read-write because I'm sure project will go read-only. At some point. So mm-hmm. you'll want to, just as we were talking about the HPSS that sprung up. So I was just going to check with what the plan was or if we need to make one.
I would say it's probably more the latter, that there needs to be a little bit more finer. We need to put more detail on the what plans we have. Right now, it's pretty, like you just said, it's it's going away. Around this time frame, plan to move your data over that you need to keep, but nothing more than that at this point. But and that'd be a good thing to bring up with internally, right? Make sure we've got our ducks in a row before we start putting out suggestions or again. I think we could cause some. If we weren't careful with our messaging, we could cause quite a bit of panic, right? But
it's when you'll cause the panic, really. You just have to choose when. It's your choice.
Yeah. Like the panic a week before October 1st for HPSS.
That probably not as bad, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Gary?
One thing is... I know that CSM relies heavily on stuff under GLADE-P for the core model data sets and input data sets and things like that. And it can't go away as long as Cheyenne is around.
Right.
Because Cheyenne can't see campaign store. So we can't move everything off GLADE-P to campaign storage and still be able to use Cheyenne the way we've been using it. So GLADE-P can't go away any earlier than Cheyenne goes away, at least from the CSM perspective.
Okay.
That would really break things badly. I mean, eventually it becomes a moot point because Derecho will be able to see campaign storage, so that's not an issue. But until that time.
There's a lot under GLADE-P. Like the whole NCARS data sharing service is under GLADE-P as well, right? So I feel pretty confident that things will happen in a logical and acceptable set of steps, and hopefully not squeeze people too much. But I think it's pretty safe to say that Sizzle has no plans to copy the data for users. That'll be on project leads or users themselves to move data off of GLADE-P to campaign storage as they see fit or necessary. Yeah. And then another point you made, Gary, that gave me a thought was, I think this was, I'm pretty sure we communicated this, is that we are working with HPE to extend the maintenance on Cheyenne to make sure that we're covered through this new gap, time gap that got created with the delay.
And also on the other point Gary made, there's no way we will shut off GLADE-P before Cheyenne is.
Yeah. That definitely won't happen. So I'd say there's, you know, again, I don't want to create concern or alarm or anything, but I think there's a greater chance that, you know, because of the age of Glade P, that something could happen that way rather than Sizzle shutting it off. But Glade has been pretty rock solid since it first came online. And the fact that it came up so smoothly and without any issues at all after the outage was pretty reassuring for most of us. So, yeah, Matthias?
Since you brought up the data sharing service, can we no-share data straight from campaign, or does it still have to reside on Glade P for doing that?
No, you don't have to. It's that the Glade P data share is a mount point on Globus, so that helps. There's a lot of users that take advantage of that every day.
I have the impression that it was possible to share straight data which you have sitting on campaign. Can you create a Globus endpoint from that, or do you have to first move it? I mean, the past I always moved it, but I had the impression it works now, but I couldn't find anywhere documentation which says that actually does work.
Sid, do you want to take that?
At this point, we do not have that option.
Maybe it was the HGO project space that I can share it from there. I didn't have to move it to the data share partition. Is that possible? Because I recently did something which I didn't share from the data share that seemed to work. And now I'm not sure exactly what I did myself, but
that should not be the case, because this is a security, this thing, right? The data in data share can be shared using Globus endpoint. If it is shared with anonymous user, anybody with a Globus account should be able to access the content under data share. But in your Glade P or campaign storage, that won't be the case.
Okay. Then now I have to check what I actually did. I thought I shared it from somewhere else, but maybe I did.
Yeah, Matthias, that's another good action item for it, because I seem to recall that I've helped some users in the past with sharing data directly off of campaign storage, but I'll trust Sid on this to say that we can't, but I think we need to get back with you with a definitive answer on that. Okay. Gary?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Garth?
Apparently I found that button. Sorry. They shouldn't have let me use that, right? They could have hidden that better.
That's dangerous.
Well, and that brought up this Globus 5 idea of sharing without having to use Globus endpoints. So I'm hoping that's still somewhere on a roadmap, even though I know Globus 5 has been beta for since we started meeting, yes. Right? So
yes.
That's how these things happen.
Yeah.
That is there. Okay.
Once it is there, you can do that. But you have to be careful there, right? You don't want to expose everything.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it can be done in a very incremental and directory, exactly. You know, like controlled way.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the other question I had was, will Glade P be readable from derecho directly? Will all of the Glade resources be on derecho too? Because it's going to get really confusing really fast. And I'm just going to, you know, maybe make some helpful recommendations to my staff to be like, hey, you know, if you want to be ready, you know, you can think about doing these things. But I just wondered if that was going to be the case.
Yeah, as far as I know, the plan is for all of Glade to be accessible from derecho for as long as it exists.
Yes. Right? I won't. Yeah. Once things are gone, all bets are off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an absolute requirement. Okay, anything else? Good, great round discussion here. I frankly didn't expect this kind of liveliness out of the group, so thanks for that. By the way, how's the air quality down there today in Boulder and the area?
Better than it was the other days, but not great.
Yeah, it couldn't get much worse than it was on Saturday. I ventured into Boulder.
HVAC system running to and hopefully filter something out.
Yeah. They had, that it just so happened that Saturday there was an Ironman in Boulder, and I felt bad for those athletes. So Kay, that's kind of, it looks better up here, you know, like I'm about 8,200 feet, and it looks better, but you can still see we're not out of the woods, no pun intended, yet. Okay, so I'll give us one more opportunity for folks to speak up or ask some questions, and if not, then let you go, and we'll end it right at about an hour meeting, so pretty good, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, Garrett.
Oh, clap.
He's happy to go. He's happy that he can. I'm letting him go. So, all right, good. Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Look for an email from me in the next, hopefully, 24, 48 hours with a link to the wiki for this meeting. And as always, let me know, or Sid, obviously, if you have any questions or anything you want us to follow up with. So. Appreciate everybody showing up and your time. I think it was a pretty good meeting. So take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.